Right here, we're beginning at the bottom of Ayin Aleph and Bet. The Gemara is a little bit difficult. I'm going to follow the sheet of Rashi through the Gemara. I'll try to point out where Tosafot has some differences, although I'm not going to really go into depth into Tosafot's Shita, just to keep it simple enough to follow through the Gemara. So the first statement is Amar Ula. Lamanda Amar, Hashem Vadai lo ba yidiyah b'tchila. According to the one who says that an Hashem Vadai does not require yidiyah in order to bring it, Baal Chamesh Bilot b'shiva charufa, enu chayav elachat. If he has five Bilot with a shiva charufa, he only has to bring one korban. So there are a number of things that you need to know in order to understand this statement. The first one is about Ashamot. There are certain types of Averot that require, instead of a Chatat, they require an Asham. Three of those involve Avera, which is Asham Mi'ilot, that is someone who misappropriates Hekdesh has to bring an Asham Mi'ilah. There's Asham Gzelot, which is someone who took a Shvu'ah about money that was stolen, taken inappropriately from another person, and he takes the Shvu'ah denying it. And then you have Asham Shifa Harufa. Asham Shifa Harufa is actually a machloket, exactly what it is. We'll go with the more standard approach, which is this is a person who is a half Shifcha Knanit, half Mishuchreret, that's married, is a Shifcha Knanit, that is engaged, or is Erusin with an Eved Ivri, but an Eved Ivri who is half free. He's half Ben Chorin, and half an Eved Ivri, and he gets engaged to a Shifcha Kenanit. That is called a Shifcha Harufa. The punishment for Shifcha Harufa is that the woman gets Malkot. The man has to bring a Korban. The Korban is an Asham Shifcha Harufa. That Asham is brought, it's unusual, it's brought both B'Shogeg and B'Mezid. Doesn't matter if it was done by accident, through a forgetting, or intentionally, the punishment is still a Korban by Shifcha Harufa. Right, then there's an additional kind of Asham, which is called an Asham Talui. An Asham Talui, even though it's somewhat misnamed, has nothing to do with the other Ashamot, except for the fact that it comes from the same animal, that it's an Ayal Zachar. But the Asham Talui is brought in general, according to most, for a Safek by a Chatat. So for instance, in a case where a person has a doubt about whether they have really violated an Avera that they have to bring a Chatat for, so that in the interim, they don't know what to do. They bring an Asham Talui. As I said, Talui, it hangs on. It keeps them protected until the time they figure out whether they did or did not need to bring a Korban Chatat. If they figure out they did do the Avera, they'll have to bring a Korban Chatat. If they didn't do the Avera, then the Asham Talui is brought ala safek. That's the nature of the Korban. It's brought when you have a doubt as to whether you violated an Isur that has a Chiyuv Karet B'Mezid and a Chiyuv Chatat B'Shogeg. Again, in the Masechet Kretot, other places, there's a machloket about what exactly has to be the setup, but most believe that the setup has to be a case where you have a choice between two items. For instance, you have Shuman and Chalev sitting in front of you, two pieces of fat. One of them is Isur, one of them is Heter. You went ahead and you ate one of them. You don't know which one you ate from. So in that case, if you knew you ate Chalev, you'd have to bring a Chatat. Here, you don't know which one you ate, therefore you bring an Asham Talui until you figure out whether you did eat the chalev or did not eat the chalev. If you do figure out later that you ate the chalev, you have to bring a chatat. It is mentioned in Chulin as well. It's mentioned in a number of places. And if you don't have anything, if you figure out later on you don't have an aveira, then that's it. It ends there with the Asham Talui. The Asham Talui is what they call toleh. It protects you until you can figure out whether you did the aveira or not. All right, so that's the back of now. Asham Talui. And these are the other Ashamot. Now, beyond that, what happens here? There's a machloket between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon with regards to an asham. What happens if you have an asafek with regards to whether you have to bring an asham or not? We said an asham talui takes care of a situation where you have a safek about a chatat, something where a chelev and shuman, you have a safek there. What happens if you have a safek in one of the ashamot, whether you have to bring an asham or not? Can you bring an asham talui in order to take care of the safek asham? Is there such a concept by Ashamot? So then, Machloket Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon. And this is the way the Machloket goes. Rabbi Akiva believes that you're Mechayev a Safek Mi'ilot Asham Talui. That when you have a Safek in an Asham, you bring an Asham Talui. So for instance, in a case where you have a Safek about whether you were Mo'el or not Mo'el, in the interim, you'll bring an Asham Talui until you figure out whether you actually did Mi'ilah, whether you misappropriated Hekdesh or not. When you figure out that you did misappropriate HaKadosh, you'll bring the Hashem Me'ilot. But in the interim, you bring an Hashem Talui, just like you would do that by a Korban Chatat. Because, the problem being, that you cannot bring the regular Hashem, because the regular Hashem requires you to know or have knowledge of the Avera. Just like by a Chatat, you can't bring a Korban Chatat until you know that you've done something wrong. Once you know you've done something wrong, then you can bring the Korban Chatat. If you don't know you've done something wrong, you can't bring a Korban Chatat. That's what the Hashem Talui is made for, in a situation where you just don't know, or you have a Safek. But until you have a yediyah that you did something wrong, you may not bring a chatat. Rabbi Akiva believes that the same is true by an asham. You will not bring an asham until you know for certain that you did the avera. Therefore, when you're in a situation where you don't know whether you violated the isur or the lav that generates the asham, you're going to bring a asham talui until you figure it out. And then if you figure... So that's the question. The Gemara says that it's tola. It protects you. It gives you protection. If you really did sin, then you're exposed to the possibility of being punished in the interim. So what the Hashem Talui does is protects you in the interim from the punishment that would otherwise come. That's exactly what it is. It protects, but it doesn't solve the problem. It doesn't give you full kapara. It's not mitahir you. It doesn't bring you to the point where everything is fine. It just protects you in the interim until you figure out whether you have to bring the Hashem Padai here or the Chatat, in the situation of the Chatat. That's the position of Rabbi Akiva. On the other hand, Rabbi Tarfon Omer, why bother? He says, listen, by a Chatat we have a problem. By a Chatat comes from a Beheiman Nikeva, comes from a female animal, whereas a Hashem Talui comes from a male animal. So there's nothing you can do. You have to bring the Hashem Talui in order to protect you in the interim, and that won't cover you for the Chatat. But in this situation, I actually have an interesting case, because both of them require a male Ayel Zachar to be brought. Both the Hashem Talui, and say for instance, the Hashem Milot, both require the same Korban to be brought. So what I could do is, I can bring the Korban out tonight, on a condition. I bring this animal and say, listen, if I am chayav a korban asham, this will be my asham. If I'm not chayav a korban asham, this will be an asham talui. And in the meantime, because you can bring an asham talui bin nedava, that's again a machloket in the gemarot and milot, kreitot, mention whether you can bring it bin nedava. But the assumption is that you can bring an asham talui bin nedava as a voluntary offering. So he just makes a condition. He says, listen, I don't know what I did. I don't know if I did something wrong or not. If I did do it wrong, this is my Hashem and I'm covered. If I didn't do something wrong, it's an Hashem Talui. And you can bring an Hashem Talui even though you haven't sinned. Or even though you don't have a safek of a sin. And that is the solution of Rabbi Tarfon. But what you see from Rabbi Tarfon is, lo ba yidia b'tchila. He doesn't require you to know that you've sinned before you bring the Korban. He's allowing you to bring your Hashem on condition that if I did sin, this will cover it. Do you acknowledge that you've sinned? No. You don't have that information. You don't have that information until you become aware of the fact. So retroactively, that will assume that this Hashem was your Hashem. But what Rabbi Tarfon clearly is indicating is that you do not have to have knowledge of your sin in order to bring the Hashem, as opposed to Rabbi Akiva, who says, no, you have to bring the Hashem Talui. Wait until you have knowledge of the sin, and then you can bring the Hashem Vadai. So that's the difference between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon. Tosafot has issues with this because it's not so clear that Rabbi Akiva's position is totally this way or Rabbi Tarfon's position is totally this way. Again, I'm not going to address it. I just want you to know that there are problems in this setup. But that's the basics. So now the Gemara proposes based on Ula. Lamanda Amar, that Shamva Dai Lo Ba'i Yidiyah B'tchila. According to one who says you don't need Yidiyah in order to bring an Hashem. That is Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva in some instances, but that's the position of Rabbi Tarfon. So now you don't require yediyah b'tchila. Then, ba'al chamesh bi'ilot b'shivcha rufa. He has bi'ah with the shivcha rufa. Each one of those is an isur, a separate isur. Einu chayav elachat. He's only going to have to bring one korban to cover all five violations. Because, as Rashi says, b'shogeg, v'nodolo ben ko'achat v'achat. And he finds out between each bi'ilah that he's done something wrong. Einu chayav elachat. He has to only bring one. But the very good. So that's the question you can ask right away. Wait, this is very different than what we saw before. By the Chataot, we said there that all the Yediyot happen afterwards. That if there was a Yediyah between each Avera, that would break the Helem, the forgetting, and each one would be a separate Avera. And over here, I'm suggesting that the idea in between has no impact. Why is that? If you want to make the cases parallel to what we've seen in the past with the Chatat, then if you had a idea in between each Korban, then it shouldn't work at all. So now, Tosafot explains, they're not comparable. Rashi says this later on as well. By a korban chatat, the only thing that matters is the shkaga, the forgetting, the mistake. Therefore, yidiot mechalkot ha-shkagot. Every time you remember that you did something wrong, you've terminated that shkaga, and now you start a new mistake or forgetting. Remember that by Shiva Harufa, it's irrelevant whether you're Shogeg or Mezid, you're going to bring a Korban. So it's clear here that the mistake or the Shigiga, the forgetting, is not what generates the Korban. The Korban is generated whether you do it intentionally or unintentionally. So Yidiyah has no impact in terms of being Mechalek into separate Isurim. So therefore, even though by Chatat, it will impact, because by Chatat, you only bring it on a Shogeg, you don't bring it by Mezid, therefore Yidiyot have impact, because each Shkaga brings, or causes a Chiyuv, a Korban, and therefore Yidiyot will be Mechalkot. Over here, that's not true, because even by Mezid, you'd be Chayav a Korban, therefore Yidiyah is not going to have impact. What you see is that Rabbi Tarfon, who believes that Yidiyah has no impact by Hashem, because you don't have to know about the Avera beforehand. Therefore, we're now going to take that, extrapolate that, and say, therefore, between the Bilot of Shiva Harufa, if he has the Yediyah, it has no impact. And Einu Chayav El Achat. You only have to bring one Korban Hashem, even though you had multiple violations over here. You can cover multiple violations with one Korban Hasham. No. No, you can have a Diyah and Tayyim. That's what Rashi says. You can have a Diyah in between. And nevertheless, they're considered to be one Avera, to be covered by the Korban.
You do the same Avera a few times.
Right? By any other... By the way, depends what? Depends which Avera you're speaking of. Correct. According to the one who says you don't require Yediyah to bring the Korban. Here, the Rabbi Tarfon Shita is that Yediyah has no impact by Shifa Harufa because you don't even need Yediyah to bring an Hashem. Hashem does not require Yediyah to be brought. Therefore, Yediyah has no impact. Could be a case of Mezid, but by Mezid it's not as big a chiddush because there's an explicit Mishnah that says that for Mezid you can bring one Korban al Averot Harbeh. So that we know already from a Mishnah. Here they're trying to address the issue of Shogeg. Shogeg and Yediyah, which is going to make it different than we have by Chatat. We have an explicit Mishnah by Mezid that says that you bring one Korban or multiple violations. That's true in Shifa Harufa in general by Mezid. So that's the way Rashi learns. Tosafot has a slightly different way to learn the Gemara here about exactly what the statement of Ula is, but generally, they're in the same position, which is that Yediyot are just not going to make a difference over here. Matkif l'Rav Amnuna. Elamiyato, if that's the case, Baal v'Hifrish. This is not, v'Chazar Baal is eliminated from the Girsa. Baal v'Hifrish. He does the Avira, he's Boel, Eshivcha Karufa, and then Hifrish Korban. He separated out of Korban. What's going to happen there? Vamar. And what's he going to say? Listen, guys. Himtinu li, achevo. You know what? I don't want to have to bring a second korban. Just hang on to this one for a couple minutes, and I'm going to do another avira. At least I'll be covered by this one. Why bring two? At least can cover this one. So how could that be? Rav Amnuna is challenging him and saying, but the way you're suggesting now, that Yediyah has no impact, that sounds like you could just hang, you can keep the korban around, and do as many avirot, and then cover it all with this one korban. So Chachanami Deino Chayav El Achat? We're going to say there that he's not Chayav one? Amale, your response to him, Masid Lachor Frasha Kamart? Wait a minute. I didn't say what you just said. You said something different. We saw this yesterday, that there's a different ways to get to a Yediyah Bentayim. Yediyah can be simple knowledge. Yediyah can be that I know and been Mafrish the Korban. Yediyah can be that I was Mafrish the Korban and I had brought the Korban, I had Kapara. You just said something, or you extrapolated a statement that I made to another case, which is my case is simply Yediyah. He knows that he did something wrong. He was not yet Mafrisha Korban. In that instance, I said that you can bring one Korban on all the Averot. What I did not say, and what you were trying to suggest, is that even if I knew about it and I was mafrisha korban, that that wouldn't be enough to separate over here. That is not true. Because maaseh d'lachar fasha lo kamina. When there's a, if you do a bila after you've already been mafrisha korban, that I did not agree to. That I did not say. I only said it about plain yediyah. I did not say it about yediyah or the achar afrasha, after you've already separated the korban. Then already, even Rabbi Tarfon, who says that yediyah does not impact by shifcha rufa, will agree that if you're mafrish the korban, already you've terminated that avera, or the ability to cover that avera with this korban, and anything you do afterwards will have to come under another korban, or start another korban, in order to rectify that situation. Yes, Ray. So Tosafot, we're going to see in a second. The Gemara is going to bring in Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. That's why this is brought here. We're going to bring in their Machloket in a second. Tosafot over here says, don't conclude that what we had the question yesterday, which is, where is the Machloket between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan? So over here it sounds like, Lachar Afrasha, everybody agrees that that's considered to be a Yediyah, a Hefsek, a separation. It says, don't conclude about yesterday's daf. Well, then now we know where Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan argue. They argue just in Yediyah. They don't argue in Hafreshah, because that's basically what the Gemara is suggesting here. Don't conclude that, because as Tosfot says, you could say Im Timsal Omar. The Gemara is saying it as an Im Timsal Omar. Right. It's not saying it as a conclusive statement to, then we can bring conclusion to yesterday's daf, because the Gemara doesn't do that. And it should have done that. So Tosfot suggests that it's not... Correct. Means that it's not conclusive. They're suggesting, if you think, or if you learn it this way, right. If you think that Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan only argue in Yediyah, and not Yediyah Achar HaFrashah, then this would be the way that it lays out. Alright. Then, Ki Atar Rav Dimi, Amar, the Manda Amar Hashem Vadai, Ba Yediyah B'Tchila, according to one who says that Hashem Vadai requires Yediyah beforehand. That is Rabbi Akiva, right? Rabbi Akiva says that in order to bring in Hashem, you must know that you violated, you've done an Avera. So according to him, we have the opposite conclusion, which is that if you had five bi'ilot in a shiv charufa, you have to bring a korban on each one of them. Assuming you had a yediyah ben ta'im, you had a yediyah ben each one of them, yediyah is enough to generate a separate chiyuv korban. Because you know how to bring the korban until you have a yediyah. So the yediyah generates the korban over here. Now, Rashi believes, and so does one of the deot and Tosafot believes that there's no machloket here. Ula and Rav Dimi are basically giving you two sides of the same coin. One of them is presenting it to you from the position or the perspective of Rabbi Tarfon, of the person who says, you don't lo by Yediyah. And the other one is presenting it from the perspective of the one who says, you do require Yediyah. And that is Rabbi Akiva's position. Not that they are arguing. They're simply presenting you the information from two different perspectives. Tosafot brings the Ri who thinks that this is a machloket. Based on the way they explain the Gemara, they think that Rav Dimi is actually arguing on Ula. Again, we're going to read it like Rashi in the second day on Tosfot, that there is no argument here. So now, Baal Chamesh Bilot B'Shiv Charufa Chayav Agol Achat Ve'Achat. Amar Le Abaye, Harei Chatat D'Be'inan Yediyah B'Tchila. Wait a minute. By a Chatat, we require Yediyah in order to bring a Chatat. The same din as for Rabbi Akiva, Chatat and Hashem have the same din, which is you have to know that you did a violation, know that you sinned in order to bring the Korban. Yet, over there, Upligi Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Nevertheless, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish argue about whether it's considered enough, Yediyah is enough, to separate between the Korbanot. So now again, here, the Gemara is equating two things that are not as similar. And this is where that, what I just read to you in Tosafot, Rashi actually brings it over here. How can you compare the cases? Over there by the Chatat, the Yediyah happened all afterwards. He ate two kzeitim of chalev. Then afterwards, he remembers one. And then he remembers the next. Over there, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish argued about whether you bring one korban or two korbanot. Over here, you're making a suggestion that he has the yediyah between each maaseh avera. So again, you have to say the same thing that we said before, which is that this case is different. Shiv charufa, the case is because you bring it b'mezid. And shogeg doesn't really matter over here. The yediyah between the averot is the equivalent of the yediyah after the averot by the chatat. So I'm just pointing out again, because Rashi makes his statement over here, even though Tosafot mentions it before. But this difference between, we're comparing almost like apples and oranges, because we're talking about a chatat, where all the yediyot were afterwards, and a shemot, where the yediyot we're saying are between each maseh avera. Nevertheless, you're going to have the same din. And what the Gemara asks over here, or as Baye is really asking Rav Dimi, I don't understand. By Chatat, when you had the Yidiyota afterwards, we had a machloket Rabbi Yochan Reish Lakish, whether Yidiyah separates to make you into Chayav multiple Korbanot or not. You're making a suggestion here that Divrei Akol, everybody says that Yidiyah separates between the Korbanot. What happened to their machloket? What happened to the machloket Rabbi Yochan and Reish Lakish? Ishtik. He didn't have an answer. Amrlei, so Abai proposes to them, Dilma, B'masela Charafrasha Kamart, Ukud Rav Amnuna. Maybe, when you made your statement, you were talking about a case where not only do you have a Yediyah, he was also Mafrish a Korban, like Rav Amnuna suggested before. Amrlei, in. That's right. That's exactly where I heard this. Now, he reminded him, he triggered in his memory, oh yeah, this is what we were speaking about. And that's why it's not relevant to Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, because here it's not even a case where not only do you have a Yediyah, but he's always so Mafrish a Korban. And when you're Mafrish a Korban, then Divrei Akol, that's considered enough of a separation to make you Chayav independently on each Korban. Again, here you can make the same statement. That should help us to conclude yesterday's Gemara. Where did Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish argue? It's clear from the way the Gemara is concluding here, that's only be Yediyah, but Yediyah Bafrasha, Divrei Akol, That is considered to be Michalek, even according to Reish Lakish. So this, again, Tosfot says that don't draw that conclusion, because you could say Imtim Salomar. It's not a conclusion of the Gemara. Just saying, if you follow this position or follow this train of thought, this is how it would come out. This is how it would turn out. So now we have the statement of Ula. We have the statement of Rav Dimi. Now we have a third statement, Ki'at Rabin. When Rabin came. Amar Kol Modim B'Shiv Charufa. Everybody agrees by Shiv Karufa. Everybody agrees by Shiv Karufa. And then we have a machloket by Shiv Karufa. Three different cases. The Gemara will explain each one of them. Everybody agrees in a case of Shiv Karufa that you only have one. Kid'ula. That's the case of Ula. Both Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish will agree in a case where you hold of Rabbi Tarfon's position. Rabbi Tarfon says you don't require Yediyah B'tchila, you don't require Yediyah beforehand in order to be Chayav a Korban, that Yediyah becomes meaningless, according to Rabbi Tarfon. And therefore, even Rabbi Yochanan will agree there that Yediyah makes no difference, and you only bring one Korban for multiple violations of Shiv Charufa, even though you had Yediyot between each Masei Avera. Everybody agrees by Shiv Charufa that you're going to bring a separate korban for each isur when you have a din like Rav Amnuna. Rav Amnuna says that you have Yediyah v'hafrasha. So even Reish Lakish in that case will agree to basically the statement of Rav Dimi, modified or qualified by Rav Amnuna, which is that if you believe that Yediyah makes a difference by Shiv Charufa, the position of Rabbi Akiva, and you did, between each Masei Avera, you had a Yediyah plus a Hafrasha, then you bring a separate Korban on each Masei Avera. Even Reish Lakish will agree there, that you bring one Korban for each Masei Avera, you can't bring one Korban to cover them all. So that's basically the statement of Ula, and the statement of Rav Dimi. Now, where is the Machlok between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish? That'll be a case where, that, where do you have machloket b'shiv charufa, the man damar, shem vadai, by yediyah tchila, machloket Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. It's basically the case where Abaye challenged Rav Dimi's statement, which is a case, according to Rabbi Akiva, who says you need yediyah by Hashem, yediyah makes a difference by Hashem, a case where you only had yediyah, but not hafrasha. So that's what Abaye asked. Didn't we have a machloket Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish by chatat in that case? And the answer is, yes, that is where Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish argue. Where do they not argue? That's Achar HaFrasha. If you have Diyab V'HaFrasha, then everybody agrees that's a separation between Mis Masei Avera. But if you have only Yediyah, just Yediyah, according to Rabbi Akiva, it says that Yediyah makes a difference by Shiv Charufa, then Yediyah, Masei Avera, Yediyah, Masei Avera, Yediyah, Masei Avera, Yediyah, does that make it one Korban or multiple Korban? That's Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says, no, Yediyah is not enough to separate, and therefore, you bring a single Korban on all of them. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says that a Yediyah is enough to separate the Masei Avera, and therefore you'll bring a separate Korban on each one of them. So we basically now move through the spectrum of the different opinions by Shiv Charufa. We've taken what we knew about Chatat, Machloket Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, and now we've tried to bring it over to the world of Hashem, Hashem Vadai. And the Gemara says, well, you have to look at Hashem Vadai. There are three different manifestations of Hashem Vadai. It's a case where, according to Rabbi Tarfon, Yediya makes no difference. In a case where Yediya makes no difference, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are not shayach. They're not relevant anymore. Because their whole machloket revolves around when Yediya makes a difference. When you don't have Yediya, it doesn't make a difference, then everybody agrees that you bring one korban. Because Yediya is not relevant. If Yediya is not relevant, you bring one korban for multiple maaseh averot. That's one. Number two is, if you have Yediya vehafrasha, you have knowledge plus your mafish the korban, that's also not the world of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish by chatat, at least according to one position yesterday, because everybody agrees there that that's a separation. That's already enough of an action to separate between each maaseh avera. So by Hashem, the same thing will be true according to the one who thinks that Yediya makes a difference, then that Yediya is enough to separate. Their makaloket will arise where Yediya makes a difference by Hashem, and that's all you have is Yediya. Just like by Chatat, Yediya is where they have a machloket. So too by Hashem, they have a machloket by Yediya. Just as we mentioned before, the Yediya by Chatat and the Yediya by Hashem are different. Yediya by Chatat is always after all the Maaseh Averot. If you have Yediya between each Maaseh Avera by Chatat, it's automatically a separate Helem, and you can't bring one Korban for it. It has to be a case where you did all the Maaseh Averot in one Helem, and then you have the Yediyot afterwards. That's where the machloket. The equivalent in Shivach Harufa is even when you have the Yediyot between each Maaseh Avera, because Shivach Harufa is different. You're even Chayav B'Mezid, not only B'Shogeg. So Yediyah Helem is not relevant by Hashem. So there, which we had Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish's argument by Chatat, that afterwards the Yediyot, or whether they're Mechokot or not, after the fact, by Shivach Harufa, according to Rabbi Kiva, where Yediyah makes the difference by Hashem, their machloket will be in a case where you have Yediya between each Maaseh Avera, which is the equivalent to what it is by Chatat, and then you'll say, Rabbi Yochanan will say, you're chayav multiple korbanot, Reish Lakish will say, one korban will cover all of that. So basically, they took the position by Chatat, or the machloket of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish by Chatat, and then they superimposed it on Hashem. But Hashem has its own unique properties. So because of that, it comes out that you have nuances within Hashem. You have someone who says, Yediya doesn't make a difference at all, out of the picture. Somebody said, Yediya plus Afresha, out of the picture. The only thing that makes a difference when you have Yediya by Hashem, where Yediya makes a difference. And that's when Yediya is between each Maaseh Avera. There we have the Machloket Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Okay, now we move on to a new topic, new sugya. Itmar, Machloket Amoraim with regards to Nitkaven, Lagbia Tatalush, Vechatach et Amechubar Patur. Someone who intended to lift up something that was detached and ended up cutting something that was attached, right, then patur. Everybody agrees that that person is patur with regards to Shabbat. On the other hand, okay, we'll see in a second, lachtoch et ha-talush, v'chatach et ha-mechubar, if he intended to cut something that was severed, and instead he's cut something that was attached, then you have a machloket. Rav amar patur, Abaye amar chayav. Rava says you're patur in that case, Abaye says you're chayav. Rava amar patur, why does Rava say you're patur? Taha lo nitkavin lechaticha di isura. It's a failure in what we call melechet machshevet. In Shabbat, there is a requirement that when you do melechah on Shabbat, it has to be melechet machshevet. Melechet machshevet means that your action has to be what you wanted, plus the objective of your action has to be carried out. That you have to, in a sense, accomplish with your action exactly what you intended to do. So over here, you intended to cut something that was talush. In the end, you cut something that was mechubar. Your action or your intention was not carried out. Since that's the case, by Shabbat, you're patur, because the Torah requires machlechet machshevet. On the other hand, Abaye says, chayav, ta'akim mekavein l'chaticha ba'alma. He wanted to cut, and he cut. So the question about machlechet machshevet is, how far does that reach when you have the intention? Right. Is it simply that you have to cover the action? The action you wanted to do happened. Right. The malacha or the action that you wanted to do happened. You cut. You wanted to cut and you cut. That's enough according to Abaye. Rava says, no, not only do you have to cut, but even the object has to be the intended recipient of your action has to be this, that object has to be what it's carried out on. If you intend for a specific object and it turns out to be a different object, no go. You're patur, because that's not melechet machshevet. So Rabbi believes melechet machshevet doesn't only cover the action, it also covers the object that will be receiving the action. And so you have to have both of them in line. You have to have intention for the action and intention for the object upon which the action is carried out. Abaye says that only thing that matters about Melech HaMashiach is the action itself. If you intend to cut, cutting is enough. Even if you cut the wrong object or different object, you did the melacha. Melacha is to cut. And you cut. So therefore, you're going to be chayav. Rabbi says, the melacha is not only cutting, but it's cutting that specific object. And therefore, if you fail to cut that object, you're a failure in Melechet Makshevet on Shabbat. So that'll be the difference between Rabbi and Abaye's position over here. Chayav the Gamagam Chaticha Baalma, because he wanted to cut. Now, a first case here, Nitkavan Agbiyat Talush V'Chatachat HaMechubar. That first case. What exactly is the case? This is a machloket Rashi and Tosafot in numerous places in Shas. It's over here. It's in the Gemara in Shavuot. It's also in the Gemara in Kretot. The Yutet, it's in Yutet in both of those places, Shavuot and Kretot, that Rashi and Tosafot argue about exactly what this case is. You can see here, Rashi says the case is a case where your knife fell into a vegetable patch. You dropped your knife in a vegetable patch. You go in there, and you want to lift it up. You want to lift the knife out of the vegetable patch. That's what you intended to do, to lift the knife out of the vegetable patch. And on your way out, what do? You end up cutting one of the cucumbers attached to the vine. So here you intended to pick it up. And not only did you intend to pick it up, you intended to pick it up and do nothing else besides that. You had no other intentions. You just wanted to pick up the knife. In the end, you end up doing, number one, cutting, which is not the act you want to lift, you end up cutting. And not only, according to Rashi, did you lift a knife and had nothing to do with the vegetables, you end up cutting a vegetable that had nothing to do with what you intended originally. So you're missing both aspects, according to Rashi. You're missing the aspect of the maaseh. Your action is not the action you intended for. You intended to lift, instead you cut. And the object is also problematic. You intended to lift the knife, instead you cut a vegetable. So that's also, you're missing all those aspects. That's, according to Rashi, a case where you're considered to be mitasik. It's nothing to do with your intended consequence or action, and your patur, according to everybody, both according to Rava and Abaye. And over there, you are patur, because it says, asher chata ba, and in Kritot, it says that it's prat mitasik b'davar acher v'seh davar zeh. Not when you are meddling around, playing around with something else, and then all of a sudden you end up with a different action. That is not a chait. That is not something that you bring a korban for. On the other hand, shogeg. What's the case of shogeg where you bring a chatat? That's where you intend to do something. You just didn't know today was Shabbat. You didn't know this action was asur. You have complete intention for what you're doing. You just don't realize what you're doing is problematic. That's the case of shogeg. Nitasek is a case where you're involved in one thing, and it turns out in the end you do something totally unrelated to what you were intending to do or what you were asuk in. So that's Rashi's interpretation. On the other hand, Rabbeinu Tam, who does not, he brings a number of questions on Rashi's position. He brings a Gemara, which is one of the most important things, which is the Gemara says that if you intend to pick a fig, this white fig, and you pick the other white fig, that's called your patur for that on Shabbat. You don't have to bring a korban for that because your intention was not carried out. You picked the wrong teina. So the Tosfot says that according to Rashi, that doesn't seem to be the case over here. According to Rashi, if you intended for the object, in the end you would be chayav. Because based on what Rashi says, if you wanted to intend, lachtoch et mudar zeh, v'chatach mechubar acher, if you intended to cut this attached object, and you cut another attached object, according to Rashi, you'd be chayav. Because Rashi requires you to have two problems here. One is that you're asuk in a different action, you're lifting instead of cutting, and the object which you affect was not what you intended. That means that if you were intending to cut, your action was the same. You intended to cut this attached object and you cut that attached object, according to Rashi, you'd be chayav. Because you did the action that you had intended. You just carried out on a different object. But you did the action you intended, you'd be chayav. And Rabbeinu Tam does not like that. Therefore, the Rabbeinu Tam explains this case as, "Da'achay b'mari mitkavin lachtoch talush, v'nimsa shehu mechubar. V'chol tech ma shayah mitkavin, ela shalo yodea shayah mechubar." So here, this person was a case where he wanted to cut the talush, but then he figures out it's mechubar. V'chotech ma'yashaya mitkavein, but he does cut what he intended to cut over here. So now, according to Rashi, the case here is lachtoch et ha'talush v'chatach et ha'mechubar. when he cut something that was talush, and he then severed something that was mechubar, according to Rashi, you cut something that was, you intended to cut something severed, then you cut something that's attached, they're two different objects. It's not the same object over here. It's a different object. You intended to cut this eggplant that was on the floor. Instead, you cut the eggplant that was attached to the vine. So that's, according to Rashi, what happened. According to the Rabbeinu Tam, the case is that you intended to cut this eggplant that you thought was detached, and then you figured out that it was attached. So you cut the intended eggplant. The intended object is what you cut. The problem is that you thought it was talush, and instead it ended up being mechubar. So that's a big difference between Rashi and Tosafot. Tosafot believes over here the fact that your intended object is the same is not a problem. As long as you thought it was talush and you did it to mechubar, you're still patur for that. Rashi says in that case you're going to be chayav because your intended action was carried out. You intended to cut this object. You just happened not to know that it was mechubar. You thought it was talush. That is a case of shogeg. That's not a case of mitaseik. According to Rabbeinu Tam, that's still a case of mitaseik. And what's interesting is, and the Gemara is going to deal with this a little bit, is that mitaseik applies to Kol HaTorah Kula. It's not just a din in Shabbat. It's a din in Kol HaTorah Kula. Plus, by Shabbat, you also have an issue of Melechet Machshevet laid on top of it. So it actually turns out that whatever is mitaseik in Kol HaTorah Kula is also mitaseik by Shabbat. But on top of that, Shabbat has additional items that we consider mitaseik because of Melechet Machshevet. Because of Melechet Machshevet, Shabbat will have a higher threshold to be chayav b'shogeg because you not only cannot be mitaseik, you also have to carry out your intended result. And that's what Tosafot is basically saying over here. This is a case by only works by Shabbat. But a case by Shabbat where you went into the patch and you cut the eggplant, and you thought that eggplant was detached. You end up cutting that eggplant and it turns out to be attached. By Shabbat, you're going to be patur. But only by Shabbat will you be patur, because that's Melechet Machshevet. Anywhere else in the Torah has a similar situation taking place, you would be chayav. Because over there, Melechet Machshevet doesn't impact. And that's not called mitasek, because you intended to cut, and you cut. Happens to be that you cut the object you thought you were cutting, turns out to be attached instead of detached. By Kol HaTorah Kula, that doesn't matter, because Melechet Machshevet is not impactful, Kol HaTorah Kula. This is a unique din by Shabbat. And that's part of why the Rabbeinu Tam argues on Rashi and says that Rashi is now, is almost bringing over categories from other places in the Torah into Shabbat, and not recognizing that Shabbat has a separate category of mitasek. And therefore, the Rabbeinu Tam says, I say, even in this case, where the intended object is the same, and you cut thinking it was mechubar, it turns out to be, talush, and it turns out to be mechubar, you're still going to be patur in that case, because of Melechet Machshevet. Nowhere else in the Torah would that work. Only on Shabbat will that be a patur. But he extends mitasek in Shabbat to include more cases because Shabbat has this additional din of Melechet Machshevet. So he said, as opposed to, again, everywhere else in the Torah, Tosfot would agree to Rashi that the case has to be a case where the intended object is also different. Not only did you intend to cut something that was talush, and it was turned out to be mechubar, but the object must be different as well in order to be considered mitasek with Kol HaTorah Kula. So he doesn't disagree with them necessarily in mitasek Kol HaTorah Kula. He disagrees here in Shabbat that Shabbat has an additional aspect of mitasek because of Melechet Machshevet. So now the Gemara says, Rava wants to tell Yomar Rava Minami Nala. Where can I show you the Tanya? Chomer Shabbat Mishar Mitzvot. V'chomer Shar Mitzvot Mishabbat. There's a stringency by Shabbat as compared to other mitzvot, and a stringency by other mitzvot compared to Shabbat. Chomer Shabbat Mishar Mitzvot Shabbat Asa Shtayim Be'elam Echad. By Shabbat, if you do two actions in one forgetting, chayav kol achad v'achad, you chayav in each one of them. Mashen came b'shar mitzvot. That's not true by other mitzvot. V'chomer shar mitzvot mishabbat. There is a stringency by other mitzvot b'shabbat. Shabbat mitzvot shagag v'lo mitkavein. If you did an unintentional shogeg, chayav. Mashen came b'shabbat. That's not true by Shabbat, and that's what we just spoke about. The difference between Shabbat and shar mitzvot is that unintentional by Shabbat, because of Melechet Machshevet, will have additional pturim. Now the Gemara is going to explain these statements. I didn't explain them now because the Gemara is going to have to take them apart. Amar Mar. Chomer Shabbat Mishar Mitzvot. Shabbat has a stringency over other mitzvot. Shabbat has a shtayim ve'elam echad, chayav ko achad v'achad. Mashen came Mishar Mitzvot. When you do two and one forgetting, you're chayav on each one of them, which is not true by other mitzvot. Heichi domi. Please explain to me what this case is. Ilema davar ktsira v'tchina. That he did two different avot milachot and Shabbat. Therefore, if you violate two avod malachot and Shabbat, you're chayav al kol achat ve'achat, a separate korban. That is what we call shigigat milachot, what we've discussed until now. Dekavata agave shar mitzvot. So what's the comparable case by other mitzvot? Achal chelev v'dam. He ate chelev and dam. Two separate isurim. Hachatarte michayev v'hachatarte michayev. You're chayav two korbanot in both those cases. We saw this yesterday. That if you eat chelev and dam, you can't bring one korban to cover both of them. You have to bring a separate korban. They're separate isurim. You have to bring a separate korban. So how can you say that Shabbat is more stringent than shar mitzvot? They turn out to have the exact same din. You do two avot melachot, you bring two korbanot. You do two masei avirot outside of Shabbat, you also have to bring two korbanot. Ela, shar mitzvot, d'lo mechayev elachada heichidami. So let's say, what's the case by shar mitzvot when you only chayev one? Tachal chelev v'chelev. He ate two pieces of chelev, two gzeitim of chelev, behelem achat, kdei achilat pras, he eats two chelev, pieces of chelev, he brings one korban chatat. Dekavata gare Shabbat, what's the equivalent case by Shabbat? Da'ovi k'tzira u'k'tzira. He does the melach of k'tzira, and then he does the melach of k'tzira again. We saw yesterday, if you do two k'tzirot, one korban will cover both of those k'tzirot. Halcha b'chada mechayev, halcha b'chada mechayev. In both those cases, one korban will cover both of them. The same requirements that you have by chelev, that it be behelam echad, that we know yediyah bentayim. All those that make it chayev one korban, the same is true by Shabbat. If you have helam echad, no yediyah bentayim, you're going to bring a single korban for both of them. So how do you have I don't see the difference that you're pointing out between Shabbat and the Shar Mitzvot. Turns out that you have the same din in all places. If you bring two, you bring two in both places. You bring one in both cases. So what exactly is this case? So the Gemara says, Olam, David Ktsira Tchina. The case is here where you did two separate avot melachot. Umay, mashin kim b'shar mitzvot. B'shar mitzvot refers to avot zara. The Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Ami's position by avot zara is, Dam Rabbi Ami, Ziveach, Pikiter, Benisech, Ba'alam Achat, Enu Chai V'Lachat. There are four avodot, when they're done towards avodah zarah, that a person is chayav for, chayav mitah for, that is, zibeach, kiter, v'niseach, and hishtach avayah, that's the one that's not mentioned here, is bowing down. Rabbi Ami believes that the source for zibeach, kiter, v'niseach is singular, and therefore, even if you violate all these different ways, a person is zibeach, he shech, something like avodah zarah, kiter, and he puts on the mizbeach, kiter, he brings a ketoret, he brings incense to Avodah Zarah. Niseich, he does a libation to Avodah Zarah. Any one of these violations, if they're done together, Be'elam Echad, they all are Chayav only once, not multiple times, because they derive from the same source. So that'll be the difference. By Shabbat, where you do multiple Avot, like Tzira and Tchina, there you're going to be Chayav, Echatat, on each one of them. But by Avodah Zarah, if a person does, and one forgetting, Zviach, Kiter, and Niseich, then he's only going to bring one Korban, Chatat. So now Gemara says, "By mayu kimta, b'avodah zarah." So now you're suggesting to us that the Braita, when it says that Shabbat, or it's drawing a contrast between Shabbat and Shar Mitzvot, we're really drawing a contrast between Shabbat and avodah zarah. Now please explain to me the Seifa based on that. The Seifa is the case where Chomer b'Shar Mitzvot, b'Shar Mitzvot. There's a Chomer by other Mitzvot over Shabbat, a stringency in other Mitzvot over Shabbat. Shabshar Mitzvot shagag b'lo mitkavein. If a person's a shogeg unintentionally, Chayav, Mashenkein b'Shabbat. That's not true by Shabbat. Hi, Shagag v'lo mitkavein d'avodah zarah heichidami. Please explain to me the case where a person is shogeg, he forgets some din, and unintentionally worships avodah zarah. Ilema, if you say the case is, Kasuvar beit knesetu. He thinks that this is a shul, Pishtachavela, and he bows down to it. So that's a case where he makes a mistake, there's a judgment mistake. But it's also unintentional, because he doesn't intend to bow to avodah zarah, he's intending to bow to the shul. Over there, Hareli Bola Shamayim. Then his heart is to heaven. That's not called avodah zarah. You won't even have to bring a chatat for that. The same din that you have by Shabbat, that you won't have to bring a chatat in the case of Shagag, Belo Mitkavein. Ella, what's the case? The Chazi Andarta. You see, it's an Andarta. An Andarta today is used as a monument. And there today, an Andarta was a monument to the king. It's a monument to the king, and they bow down to it. Visagida. So that, what's the case? What's the case here where he bows down to this monument? If he accepts it as a god, he bows down to this monument as a god, then mezidu. That's called intentional. Forget about unintentional. This is a person who is intending to worship avodah zarah. He's chayav. He's chayav mitah. He's not going to bring any korban. If he doesn't accept it as a god, lav klumo, that's nothing. You're allowed to bow down to an Andarta. You're allowed to pay respect to the king and bow to the monument out of kavod, not to worship Avodah Zarah. That is not a problem. That's not worshiping Avodah Zarah. It's not called worshiping Avodah Zarah. Ella me'ahava u'me'ira. This is a very difficult sugya. It's a sugya that's really found in Sanhedrin. We'll talk about it a little bit here, but it's unbelievable. It's a case where a person bows down, either mi'avat adam or irat adam, because he loves somebody, or because he's a fear of someone. He bows down because of their either imposition, they're basically threatening him, and out of fear for this individual, they bow down, or bi'ava, because they are so close with this individual, and they're love this individual, they bow down for them. They're not bowing down necessarily to worship Avodah Zarah. They're bowing down because of the duress that is being placed on them. Whether the duress is the emotion of love or fear, that duress is causing them to bow down. So Gemara says, Anicha l'Abaye, that works well according to Abaye. So Machlokah l'Abaye involved in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Abaye says, the Chayav. In that case, you're Chayav. If you worship Avodah Zarah out of Avon Yirah, you're Chayav. Elo the Rovo damar patur. Rovo there says, if you worship Avodah Zarah, me'avo yirah, patur. Ma'ika l'meimar. Then what are you going to say over here? It's an unbelievable shita of Rava. Rava says that if you worship Avodah Zarah out of fear, out of love for someone else, then you are not chayav. You're patur. Tosafot raises the question, which is, I'll raise it on two levels. One is Purim. Mordechai refuses to bow down to Haman. So there you can give other answers about why he didn't bow down to Haman based on Yerushalmi, that there are other reasons. But if the issue was the fear of Haman, people were fearful of Haman, therefore they bowed down to him. That's bowing him down out of Yirah. Why did Mordechai not bow down? Rava says you can bow down out of fear, and that's not a problem. That's number one. Number two is we have a din in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Three cardinal sins that require Yehareg ve'al yavor. That you must give up your life and not worship Avodah Zarah. Please explain to me that case. What's the case where a person must give up their life and not worship Avodah Zarah? That's when someone comes to them and says, either you bow down to this or I'm going to kill you. So when he says, that's Yirah, that's exactly the case. Right, that's exactly, there's no better Yirah than that, and yet you're demanded to give up your life. So how can you have a position here of Rava that says you're patur when it's out of fear? So Tosafot says over here, something that is also a machloket rishonim, he says, you're right, ein ochanami. What you should have done was give up your life. When you had been given the choice between, I'm going to kill you, or the person says, I'm going to kill you, or you worship Avodah Zarah, what you should have done is give up your life and not worship the Avodah Zarah. What happens if you didn't do that and you worship the Avodah Zarah, you bow down? On that, Rava says, patur. Beit Din can't bring you to trial for that. Beit Din will not execute you on that because you are patur. You're not culpable for such an action. Now, that happens to be a machloket, whether when you have a case of Yehareg ve'al yavor, when you're supposed to give up your life and you don't, and you go ahead and do the Avera, whether you're culpable or not. Most people say you're patur because it's onus, and you're under duress, and it's not considered to be intentional. The other way around is also a question. What happens if you don't have to give up your life, and you choose to give up your life? In cases like that, that's also machloket rishonim, which is in that case, the Rabban believes, Hayrei zeh mitchayev b'nafsho, you're chayev mita for giving up your life when you're not supposed to. What? What do you mean he gave up his life? No. Oh, I mean, yes, he gave up his life, yeah, but mitchayev b'nafsho means that you basically committed suicide. The person should not have given up their life, and you're culpable for doing that. You're going to be held responsible for giving up your life. Whereas other Rishonim, no, that said that's Kiddush Hashem. You're not required, not obligated to do Kiddush Hashem in that case, but if you do it, it's still classified as a Kiddush Hashem. So that is a machloket Rishonim about in these cases where whether you can volunteer to give up your life or you don't have to. Or do you not have to, again, by Avodah Zarah, where do you have to give up your life when they're given this choice? Do you have to give up your life? And what happens if you don't give up your life? So these are Machloket Rishonim, but Tosafot solves the problem of the steer between Rava and Yehareg Val Yavor by saying that one is what you should have done, one is what's the result if you don't listen to it. Now, the Gemara says, according to Rava, how are you going to explain the case? So he says, oh, we'll take a case, but Omer Mutar. It's a case where he thinks it's okay. Omer Mutar, he says, this is fine to do. Mashenke v'Shabbat, patur the gamre. By Shabbat, if you say Omer Mutar, that is patur the gamre. So now, the Gemara says, wait a minute. Ad kan lo b'yim minei rova mirav nachmon. He wasn't sure when you were, in this case, when you helam zeb zeb yado, you got it with Shabbat, and you forgot these melechot were asurot. His only question was, are you chayav one korban chatat, or two korbanot chatat? Do you bring one korban chatat because it covers both the forgetting of Shabbat and the forgetting of the melacha, or you have to bring separate korbanot because melachot are separate from the forgetting of Shabbat? You have to bring one korban for forgetting Shabbat and one korban for the melachot that you do. But his question was not to be patur. He only said, listen, either you bring one or two. Aval mefadre the gamre, lo. He never intended to say that you'd be patur the gamre. Now over here you're suggesting, by omer mutter, by other mitzvot, you would have to bring that you would be, chayav to bring a korban, because that's a chomer. Whereas by Shabbat, you'd be patur the gamre. El alav, so that can't work. We can't fit avodah zarah into the latter half of that braita. We're going to have to explain is that the first statement in the Braita was referencing Avodah Zarah. The second statement in the Braita was referring to all other mitzvot. So the first part of the Braita will explain based on Rabbi Ami, which is Shabbat, where you have separate melachot, then you bring separate korbanot for each melacha. Whereas by Avodah Zarah, according to Rabbi Ami, when you have Ziveach, Kiter, and Niseich, you're only going to bring one korban for all of those violations. So that's the Chomer B'Shabbat. The other way around, where we say that the other mitzvot are more chamur than this mitzvah, that's not talking about Avodah Zarah, that's talking about the Shar mitzvot. Where, hey chidami, the Savar de Shumanhu, Bachalo, he thought it was mutter fat, and he ate it. Masheiti B'Shabbat, the patur. The Ktavin Lachtovet Altar Slush, V'Katachet de Mechubar, patur. That's a case of where he cut the Talush, and instead cut the Mechubar. So here's the case. By other cases of the Torah, where you're not allowed to eat chalev. So he thinks that it's shuman. He thinks it's mutter fat. And then he goes in and eats it, and it turns out to be chalev. There he is, chayav to bring a chatat. He made a mistake, bad judgment, and now he's chayav a chatat. By Shabbat, in that similar case, what's the equivalent case in Shabbat? Where he intended to cut an object that was talush, and instead it turns out to be mechubar. It turns out to be attached. Over there, Rava says you are patur. And that's the difference. And this is Rava's proof to his position. It took a long time to get there. But this is Rava's proof to the position that when you are nitzkavin achtochet talush v'chatat mechubar, you are patur. According to Rashi, that means that you intended for this talush and ended up cutting off something else mechubar. According to Tzavot, the Rebbeinu Tam means that you intended to cut this object that you thought was talush and you end up cutting it when it is mechubar. Again, Rebbeinu Tam's, one of his proofs is exactly this. The case to be equivalent to the case of Shuman is that the same object. You thought it was fat that was mutar, instead it turned out to be chalev. You didn't eat another piece of fat. You ate that piece of fat and it turns out to be chalev. So the equivalent by Shabbat would be that the object that you cut turned out not to be talush, but mechubar. That's one of Rabbeinu Tam's proofs. So that's what the Gemara is speaking about here. According to Rashi over here, who says that the intended object is also different, then why is there a difference between the din in other mitzvot and the din over here? And that's because of a principle of shekein ne'eneh. Kein ne'eneh is brought by the issues of Ariot and Chalavim, which is that there is no such thing as mit'asik by Chalavim and Ariot, shekein ne'eneh, because he gets benefit, he gets pleasure from it. When he eats, he gets a benefit. You can't say that I'm mit'asik in an object when you're actually deriving direct benefit from it. That's not true by Shabbat. Even if he gets benefit from what he's doing, if that wasn't his intended outcome, nevertheless, he'll be patur. So whereas Tosafot explains the difference between Shabbat and Shar Mitzvot as being the difference between whether the intended object is brought about or not, when you have by Shabbat the intended object, even though it turns out to be the object that you cut, but you intended it to be something different, that's enough to make you patur by Shabbat because of Menachet Makshevet, which is not true by other Mitzvot. By other Mitzvot, you need the intended object to change in order for you to be patur. That's the difference between Shar Mitzvot and the mitzvah of Shabbat. According to Rashi, the difference is shekein ne'eneh, case where even though the intended object was different, you intended to cut something that was talush, and you cut something else that was mechubar over there, even if you get the benefit, even though you wanted to cut it, and now you have a benefit from cutting it, nevertheless, you are patur by Shabbat. That will not be true by chalavim v'arayot. By chalavim, where you intended to eat this piece of shuman, and you ate this other piece of chalev, there, even though the object changed, because shekein ne'eneh, because you get benefit from that achilah, that is considered to be problematic. and you'll have to bring a korban to rectify that. So that works well according to Rava. What's Abaye going to do? That is a problem for Abaye. Abaye, shogag bilo mitkaven echidami. No. You got it wrong. What's this case of shogeg without intention? The sovar roku ubolo. He thought it was spit. He thought it was saliva, and he swallowed it. Mashen came b'shabbat to patur. Then it's gavin like biyat atalush v'chatachet the mechubar patur. Aval it's gavin like tochet atalush v'chatachet the mechubar chayav. Abaye changes the case over there to be a totally different case. He says, listen, the case over there by the fat is a case where he didn't think it was shuman, and he intended to eat shuman, which is mutter fat, and ends up eating chilev, which is asur fat. He looked and he saw saliva, and he put the saliva in his mouth. That's not called eating. He wasn't even intending to eat. You put saliva in your mouth, that's not called eating. That's called boleya, swallowing. Whatever you want to call it. It's not eating. So now you're two steps removed, again, like we had before. Number one is, you intended to be boleya, and you intended to be boleya, something that was mutar. Instead, it turns out to be something where you ate achila, because it really was chelev, and not only did you eat, you ate something that was asur, because it was chelev. So the object is different, and the action is different. That's equivalent to the case of nitkav nagbiyat atalush v'chatatach mechubar. Case where the knife is in the vegetable patch, and you intend to pick it up, and on your way picking it up, you slice off the cucumber on the vine. So that's where you have both the masa, the action is different than when you intended, and the object is different. That's where other mitzvot, Torah will be chayav, and Shabbat will be patur. But, in a case where you intend to eat, and you just got the wrong object, there, Abaye is your chayav. And that will be the case here as well as chayav. He'll explain that braita differently in order not to be a stira for himself. He'll explain the braita, yeah, you're right, in Ochanami. If he intended to eat shuman, and he ends up eating chelev, chayav. Because you did achila. Achila is what you intended for. That's enough. Again, remember how we explained Abaye versus Rava. Rava says you need both in place. You need the action to be in place, plus the object of your action has to be the same. If you're missing one of those, patur. Abaye says the only thing you need is the action to be in place. If the action is the same action you intended for, even if the object is different, you are chayav. So therefore, Rava explains the case where you're patur by Shabbat as being a case where the action is the same. You did achila. In both instances, you just got the wrong object. By getting the wrong object, that you're patur by Shabbat, because that's Melechem Machshevet, and you're patur. On the other hand, Abaye explains the case as being a case, but you didn't even intend to eat. You didn't intend to eat, and then you ended up eating, because he requires the maaseh to change in order to be patur. Otherwise, you're chayav. If you did achila, and you ended up with the wrong object, you did the maaseh. You did the achila, just like by Shabbat. You did the chaticha. That's what you intended for. You got that. You got a chaticha. It had to be the wrong object. That doesn't make a difference, and then you'll be chayav. So that'll be the difference in their opinions and different way they explain the braita. Okay, we'll stop over here.